And we are back with episode 394 of The Critical Myth. I'm John, your host. Happy New Year! And tonight we have...
Edmund from Greenville, and funny how these new seasons work. All of a sudden, I'm looking forward more to the mid-season shows than the supposedly regular shows.
This is Gary from Jacksonville, and, you know, we talked about these shorter, tighter seasons for a long time now, and pinch me, it's actually coming true.
And this is Bronson from Australia, and congratulations, Planet Earth, on surviving another solar rotation without being destroyed by aliens, solar flares, or microwaves.
I don't know about
all
you,
thanks
but
to the doc.
I was very happy celebrating the first anniversary of the destruction of the world, so I hope you all had good parties too. And so we're going to kick this off, first show that we're recording here in the new year, with our, I guess you could say, winter and spring preview. We're just going to go down the schedule, and as usual, our friends over at the Futon Critic have their winter schedule grid up, which pretty much covers all the way through till June, so it's covering both the winter and the spring. Anything that is not here on this list, we'll try to remember, but no, you know, promises. We're just going to kind of talk about the shows that jump out at us night by night. So we're going to go ahead and start on Mondays, and returning on the 13th of January, which is approximately when this episode is supposed to come out, would be the resumption of the final season of How I Met Your Mother. Bronstam, I know that you've been watching that show for quite some time. What have you thought about this season so far?
So far, I thought that the... I was not a fan of the previous couple of seasons. I thought the drag on the show's premise is really... You're really starting to feel it. They're spinning their wheels until they can sort of get permission to sort of pull the trigger on the thing that we sort of actually on what they've been promising us from the beginning, which is showing us how Ted gets together with the mother. The device that they've employed for the final season, I'm a really, really big fan of. It reminds me of a handful of strong like British comedies and that. And for those who have been watching, basically the entire ninth season, about 22 episodes, takes place over the course of about 3 days, with occasional flashbacks to events that have sort of led up to it. There was a bit of a time skip between, I have to remember correctly, between the end of season 8 and the beginning of season 9. And season 9 is all centered on a wedding. Specifically, the wedding that they've been talking about for a few years is where Ted actually finally met the mother. And they're showing all of these kind of little things that happened in the lead up to this wedding, one of the main one being the ways in which the mother actually met every single one of the other characters, apparently, in some offhanded, random way before she actually met Ted. And even though it's still not as good as the show in its prime, you still feel that sort of wear and tear from that many years on the air, but this new format has been very fresh, and it's given the show enough life to carry it through to the end, I think.
That's good to know. I just started watching it, so it's great.
Yeah. I would say that knowing that they're coming to the end has actually helped them quite a bit because it's focusing their efforts a little bit more. At least that's the take I get on it. But
it feels a bit more like it's a 22 episode season finale.
Yes. Which is a good thing. Okay, let's see. Also on CBS on Mondays, starting on the 13th. There was a preview already, but technically starting on January 13th, is a new show called Intelligence. And this will make Gary incredibly happy. Intelligence is a dramatic thriller starring Josh Holloway, mostly known as Sawyer from a little show called Lost, as a high-tech intelligence operative.
Thing, but I don't know what you mean.
Enhanced with a supercomputer microchip in his brain. This sounds awfully familiar. With this implant,
stay calm.
Yeah, with this implant, Gabriel is the first human ever to be connected directly into the worldwide information grid and have complete access to internet, Wi-Fi, telephone, and satellite data. I would say maybe perhaps not the first, but at any rate, this would be, you know, I think we've talked about this before when we first heard about it. This is essentially a little bit of a more quote-unquote serious riff on Chuck. It seems pretty obvious to me.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly. Yeah,
it's the Mentalist to Chuck's Psych, or Journeyman to Quantum Leap, or New Battlestar Galactica to Old Battlestar Galactica.
Okay. I'll buy all those.
It's a running trend of doing this with shows. I just never thought someone would try to do it with Chuck.
Yeah, it's like the dark chocolate version of Chuck as opposed to the milk chocolate.
The one that's technically a little better for you, but not as satisfying. Is that
correct? Yes. Okay. Exactly.
All right. Well,
unless they can throw cheesy guest stars in, I'm all for it. Let's see who they can bring out.
Can we get Yvonne Strahovski back? That might get me to watch.
That would be so self-referential.
Would though, wouldn't it?
She's gonna. Dexter thankfully came to an end, so she's probably looking for work.
That's true.
Although my take on it was also that it's kind of like Chuck. It's Captain Awesome in the lead, and except the big difference is, of course, the woman protecting him is a brunette, not a blonde. So
wait, was this Chuck's friend before he had to go dump it on Chuck?
Oh, there you go. It's a prequel. Okay. I'm guessing that nobody here saw the preview, and
I'm afraid I did, and yes, it is definitely on CBS. Is my main comment.
Okay, then.
This just reeks of all of their standard procedural stuff, and very heavy problems of pilotitis. I will be giving it a shot as it gets into the main bulk of the series, but it really felt generic, unfortunately, given all the good pedigree. But at the moment, it's NCIS with a chip in the head at this point.
Okay, moving on then to Fox. We have the return, or I guess it really isn't much of a return since it wasn't exactly off for very long, but Almost Human continues to spool out its first 13 episodes with no word as to whether or not there's going to be an extension thereof. From what I understand, the ratings are fairly mediocre, and we've had our own issues with the show, so we'll see how that continues to spool out. But Sleepy Hollow, a show that I'm really looking forward to it coming back, and it's only coming back for 2 weeks, the 13th, and then the 2-hour season finale on the 20th.
Now, has it been renewed for the next 3 seasons yet, please?
Well, it is for the second season anyway.
Yeah, but
this is what you were saying, Gary, about the shorter, more focused seasons, and this is a show that I think really benefits from that.
Well, I agree, because you can't it's hard for almost any of these writers to squeeze quality episode after episode. Even the most planned out series as possible always end up having to throw fillers in, and so maybe this will get rid of those. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing, because sometimes you get some pleasant surprises, but even that being said, you still end up with hopefully a very tight story if you don't have those filler pieces.
Now let's see, depending on whether or not the website wants to cooperate with me. Yes, there we go. On the CW, on the 17th of February, starts this sounds rather familiar, Star-Crossed. Imagine what this is about. Let's read the press release here. When Emery was 6 years old, an alien spacecraft crash-landed in her small town. Whether they came in peace or with more sinister intentions didn't matter. A fierce battle erupted as humans fought for control over their new rivals, an alien species called the Atreans. In the midst of the conflict, Roman, a 6-year-old Atrian boy, found his way to a shed behind Emery's house, where she protected him from harm, bringing him food, comfort, and friendship. And you can imagine what happens 10 years later. Basically, this is a mixture of Roswell and Alien Nation. And Romeo and Juliet, of course.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather watch Romeo and Juliet.
No, you wouldn't. No one wants to see that if they don't have to. This sounds like it's definitely geared towards the teen set, without a doubt. I'm looking on the list of the cast members, and I don't really recognize anybody. Obviously, it's kind of in line.
CW isn't really jumping genres, is what you're telling us.
Well, no. What I was about to say was that their Monday night used to be dominated more by their attempt to have teenage dramas that hasn't really been working for them. What has been working for them, of course, is trying to have these genre-tinged shows, not unlike, The Tomorrow People and so forth. And this seems like their attempt to meld the two, which worked well enough when it was called Roswell, but this doesn't seem like... I mean, from what I've seen of it, it has not... does not have the same... But at any rate, there's that. It also seems like they're trying to perhaps use it as a lead-in to other things. Beauty and the Beast, a show that in its second season is just clearly on its way out, is being moved to Monday nights, and then the Tomorrow People will be moved there after Beauty and the Beast spools out the rest of its season. Tomorrow People, I know, Edmund, at one point you were trying it out.
I was trying. I gave up.
Yeah, my daughter likes it. It's, even with Mark Pellegrino, it hasn't really been hitting all cylinders. It hasn't really grown, so...
Maybe embraced the
goofiness of it or something. I don't know, but anyway.
Yeah, no, I had a little bit. There was the CW's been doing this weird thing with TV Guide Network where they have marathons of their shows on the weekend, and so I caught a couple of the end of one episode and the beginning of another episode from further on, and it basically just confirmed that it's. You know, some of this interesting idea is just not very well done. And playing perhaps a little too much to that CW demographic that has seemed to have become such a cliche they were moving away from, but they now seem to be veering right back into the teen angst and love triangles.
Well, I don't think they ever get too far away from that. I think they just use that as a basis for jumping off into other directions, but... to be fair, Supernatural, I believe, was actually something that they kind of acquired or was grandfathered in when the CW was created, so it's not exactly something that they came up with themselves, as I recall. At any rate, on FX, the fifth season of Archer, I know there are quite a few people out there that enjoy that show, but
yay.
Sci-fi. The Monday nights are going to get awfully interesting. Although it's been running quite a bit already in Canada, Lost Girls Season 4 starts to air here in the U.S. on the 13th of January. Again, pretty much as this episode is wrapping up, that should be starting. Followed immediately by the fourth season premiere of Being Human, the U.S. version, or the only version now. Yes, I'm looking forward very much to that. And then that will be followed up by another Canadian production that is premiering here in the U.S. very shortly after it premieres in Canada, and that is Bitten. Anyone who is a fan of the Otherworld novels by Kelly Armstrong, this is somewhat based upon that universe. And it actually, I always get her name wrong, Laura Vandervoort. The actress that played Kara Supergirl on Smallville is, I believe, the lead character in this one. But it's essentially about werewolves, would not have been nearly as interesting to me until such time as Being Human actually made them worth paying attention to. So we'll see. It sounds to me like actually a... an interesting synergy between the Fox shows that are kind of like your one side of the genre equation on Monday nights, and then sci-fi, which for the last few years has been putting out this block of shows on Monday nights. So lots of material there from science fiction to horror and everything in between. Let's see here. I don't think there's anything else on Monday nights that I see.
I mean, well, nothing that I think any of us watch, but I did just want to mention, since you did just mention Bitten, that Teen Wolf has started up again on MTV, and I know I've heard a lot of buzz about that over the last couple of seasons, but it's not something I've tried delving into, but I know a lot of folks have been saying that it is surprisingly good. So.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard people over on Pod Culture, also on Monday nights on the VOG Network, by the way, they've talked about Teen Wolf every once in a while. But I do want to move on to Tuesday night because we've had the return of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's a magical show. And I know that we've had I had to. I have no choice. It's literally programmed in my brain. I know that there are some people out there that still have a bit of an issue with the show. I've kind of come to terms with it for being what it is and enjoying it for what it is. And I thought it had a good return. And of course, we'll probably be talking about that next time. But that has returned as of the 7th of January. Let's see. I don't think that is a genre show. Just checking real quick. No, it is not. All right. Also, on CBS, 10 o'clock. Little show that we enjoy just a little bit. Person of Interest came back on the 7th of January as well, and whew, yeah, we'll definitely be talking about that one in the next couple episodes. Let's see. We also have on the CW, returning on the 14th of January, tomorrow night then, The Originals will be back, which has been gaining a little bit of momentum after a rough start. And, of course, right after that will be the resumption of the 9th season of Supernatural, which had a very rough start to its season, but may have finally gotten back on track after that really strong mid-season cliffhanger. Let's see then. Beyond that, what else is on Tuesday nights? I'm scrolling down. I guess Sci-Fi has its somewhat higher quality reality stuff. We've got on the 14th of January the 6th season of Face Off, which is actually not a bad little reality show. And I'm a little intrigued by this Opposite Worlds show, although there's so much else on the schedule. I'm not sure
where they're going with that. I don't get a sense from the promos of what it really is. So that's a question.
Yeah, I'm just intrigued by what was there. But as far as Tuesday nights go, I think that it continues to be that block of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Supernatural, and Person of Interest, at least for me. Anything else on the list here that I've missed?
It's not a genre show, but my son has turned me on to the show a little bit, and it's a nice, I will consider it family-friendly show. It's Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's on Fox, and it's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek. It is a police show, but gosh, real tongue-in-cheek. Not quite old Police Squad tongue-in-cheek, but it's still a hoot and hilarious to watch. And if you got three moments...
No, I was just going to say, I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I've been watching that since the get-go. It's good fun.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I mentioned at the beginning of the season that Andre Brower got me to watch it, but it is a lot of fun. And I just wanted to mention, in a day and age when we hardly ever have opening credits anymore, I absolutely adore their retro 70s top show opening credits.
It's so good, yes.
It's nice to see Andre in a comedy. He usually plays such serious, dark characters. It's nice to see him.
He is playing such a serious, dark character here. That's why it's so funny.
True, but...
I'm exceptionally happy right now. It's the happiest I've been in years. Yeah, it's... I think it was like they would have originally pitched it as just a vehicle for Andy Samberg after he left SNL, but they pulled together such a great ensemble cast, and... the writing's been that quality that it doesn't feel like any particular person is dominating, is really dominating the show. It's just really funny. It's having a lot of fun with doing, police procedural storylines, but just completely playing them for laughs, or just amping up the ridiculous things about the precinct. One of my favorite episodes is still the one where Stacey Keach comes in as this old school crime writer who's just all about how the old school was so much better, and just the way they completely take the piss out of that. It's a great show.
Very cool. I've heard a lot of good things about it, and what's really funny is that after the first couple airings, it was predicted to be like an instant flop. And I think I actually remember Edmund kind of bemoaning the fact because it was so widely spoken about, and now it's kind of gained a little bit of credibility, at least a cult following, if nothing else. It's kind of like the more successful version of Police Squad, I guess you could say. But
hey, I liked Police Squad. What are you talking about?
It was only around for 6 episodes, but anyway.
I have them all.
It wouldn't be difficult, nor would it take much time. Let's see. Moving on from there to then Wednesday nights. Hey, did you know that Revolution Season 2 came back on the 8th of January?
Yes, I did, and I have been watching it.
I'm sorry?
I didn't say enjoying it, but I have been watching it.
Well, if he's smart, he already started before we recorded, but at any rate...
No, because then I get these really bad flashbacks when I start drinking watching that show. It's
like... bad flashbacks to season one.
It really is there a difference. Let's talk about something a little more pleasant. Returning the 15th of January, we have the second season of Arrow. And, that show, the second season, is just up a notch from the first season, which we already liked quite a bit. And it's definitely been gaining a lot of momentum, and I've enjoyed the heck out of it so far, so I'm really looking forward to its return. Now, the CW on the 19th of March has a new show starting called The 100. 97 mm-hmm. years ago, nuclear Armageddon decimated planet Earth, destroying civilization. So it's a happy, shiny show.
Good show, yeah.
Yes, the only survivors were the 400 inhabitants of 12 international space stations that were in orbit at the time. Three generations have been born in space, the survivors now number 4,000, and the resources are running out on their dying arc. The 12 stations now link together and repurpose to keep the survivors alive. Draconian measures, including capital punishment and population control, are the order of the day. Yay! As the leaders of the Ark take ruthless steps to ensure their future, including secretly exiling a group of 100 juvenile prisoners to the Earth's surface to test whether it's habitable. And that's, of course, what the show is about. So it's kind of a riff off of Hunger Games to a certain extent. This sounds like it probably is going to be yet another teen angst drama, but I've actually seen some of the pilot, and it's darker than you would suspect. It has some fairly good people on the cast as well. Here you go, Edmund Page Turco.
Yeah.
Somebody just got interested in the show. Henry Ian Cusick. Of course, Desmond from a little show that we once knew. So, yeah, those are two.
You'd be even more interested.
Isaiah Washington. That's a little surprising, but there you go. One of the let's see. There's a couple other people on here, but this definitely was one of those shows that when I saw a little bit of it at New York Comic Con, definitely was better than I thought it was going to be. And an interesting spin. You know, with the Hunger Games, of course, being so big, everybody out there is looking for this dystopian young adult material that's on the shelves and how to adapt it. And this is definitely in keeping with that. It is, however, better than the other thing that the CW was contemplating, where they were actually going to effectively try to do the Hunger Games on the small screen and just kind of rename it. I think it was called The Hunt or something like that. It was ridiculous.
So are you saying that Vampires is done? Are we onto Hunger Games as a genre now?
Well, if you look, go to any bookstore and look in the young adult section, I would say yes.
Ah, thank you. Okay.
But as far as, you know, genre stuff is concerned, no.
What if we combine them? Like, I would totally watch a movie or a TV show that was about taking 12 sparkly vampires and putting them in an arena and forcing them to kill each other. Hollywood, call me.
I like your ideas. I would like to subscribe to this newsletter. Okay, but speaking of horrific ideas like sparkly vampires, American Horror Story, of course, is going to be wrapping up its third season by the end of January, which is going to make room for the second season of this show that Edmund has talked about now and again, The Americans.
Yes, indeed.
I hear you giggling in anticipation. This is...
He's stocking up as we speak.
That's right. What's your vodka of choice while watching that show?
Yeah, what's this season's vodka?
Well, it's Stolichnaya, of course.
I was going to say, Stoli all the way, right? All right. Yeah, I've seen the previews, and it definitely looks like they are picking up where they left off. So I'll look forward to hearing your commentary.
Yes. Yeah, and I mean, on a related note, it's just a mini-series, but BBC America is also going to... at the end of January, going to be showing Fleming, the Man Who Would Be Bond, which looks...
I've seen those previews, yeah, that looks interesting.
Yeah, with Dominic Cooper is playing Ian Fleming, and, Laura Pulver, Anna Chancellor, a lot of people we have seen many times over the years, especially if you watch lots of BBC and period dramas and things.
Is this going to be like Riley, Ace of Spies? Like, it's basically just Dominic Cooper's audition reel for when Daniel Craig quits?
Yeah, essentially.
Because for the record, Sam Neill would have made an awesome James Bond back in the day. Oh, yeah. And anyone who doesn't believe me needs to go and watch Riley, Ace of Spies.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, considering they're throwing around words like, you know, Dominic Cooper is Ian Fleming, a charming and sophisticated maverick whose pleasure-seeking life was turned around by World War II and led to the creation of the greatest spy the world has ever known. It's, you know, yes, they are definitely playing on that, you know, all of his adventures led into Bond trope, so.
So it's Ian Fleming in love?
but hopefully
less creepy than George Lucas in love.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Further down on the release, where he dreamed of becoming the ultimate man, a hero, a lover, a brute, and the one who always gets the girl.
See, that just makes me want to go.
You can tell the BBC America copywriters. Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead then and take our mid-show break, and this being recorded on the evening of the birthday of another luminous British actor, fictional anyway, Severus Snape. We're going to have a little bit of a tribute to him during our musical interlude. Why not? Stay tuned.
We'll be right back.
Okay, well, after that, I hope everyone enjoyed a little break. Let's jump into Thursday, and let's see here. The first thing that jumps out at me is, I'm sure our friend over on the website, Nadim, would be very happy about the 27th of February when the third season of Scandal returns. I know that none of us actually watched the show, but certainly his reviews are very enthusiastic.
He's been thrilled about it, so yeah.
Yeah. In the same time slot, of course, already having returned, is the second season of Elementary. And yeah, I happened to notice in the last episode, not only did Natalie Dormer come back, but she was wearing tight leather pants. I have no idea if that was...
It was hard to miss, yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea whether that was plot-driven or not. I didn't care.
Did you know there was a plot, John?
No, not really. Let's see. Also on Thursday nights, that's jumping out at me, is the return on the 23rd of January of the fifth season of The Vampire Diaries, a show that has kind of regained a little bit of gravitas, at least as far as its plotting is concerned, after a little bit of a rough start this season, as they were trying to clear the decks of some of the lingering plot points from last season, I suppose you could say. So I've been enjoying that quite a bit. I know Thursday nights was somewhat dominated by other things on USA, which is not quite true in the winter or spring. So let's see, what am I missing on Thursday
nights?
You're
not kidding, I tell you. It's like a void in my life.
I know, it must be. And considering where they left it off, I'm very, I'm looking forward to the next season of Covert Affairs very much. The only way they could kind of really make me happy is maybe announcing the fate of Haven already. Sci-fi, as you are part of the same corporate monolithic organization. Anyway. Here's one that on cable. On the History Channel, starting on the 27th of February, the second season of Vikings. Did any of you guys happen to check this out, the first season?
Yes, I did, and I'm honestly surprised it's on even basic cable.
Right?
It gets really out there. I mean, I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but it almost strikes me as it should be more of a Showtime series than on the History Channel.
Yeah, they get real close to those standards and practices for basic cable. That's for
close.
Sure.
Close. Oh, I think they crossed the line a few times, but I would say
definitely in terms of the violence that they do.
Yes.
I wouldn't say so much perhaps the sexual content, but they do come pretty close. They definitely want to be more of a... They're playing to the Game of Thrones crowd, but it's a surprisingly good show.
It's a fresh take on Vikings. It's not a Thor, Thoust. You know, they don't go over the top with the flourishing of the speech. You know, they're filthy, they're dirty. You can almost smell them sometimes. It's that realistic. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw when it was running in the first season, there was a special on the History Channel about some of the work that they did behind the scenes to as far as the historical connections and everything else. And I would have thought that they were just kind of riffing off of, perhaps a slightly more historically accurate portrayal. But some of the characters are actually from history, and they are doing a really nice job of doing basically a period drama. And there's a lot of aspects to it that I really enjoy, so I'm looking forward to that coming back. Let's see. I'm assuming none of us are looking forward to the return of Here Comes Honey Boo Boo, so I think it's probably a good idea to move on.
Oh, you mean that wasn't a one-season wonder?
Oh, yeah, unless you say we wonder why it wasn't just one season.
Well, that's yes, exactly.
Here you go. Friday nights, let's move on to something a little bit better. Here you go. Already having returned on the 3rd of January, third season of Grimm. Really good this year.
They're knocking it out of the park, yeah.
Loving it. Surprisingly, I mean, it's become almost a punchline. Is also on Friday nights, Dracula. I know that, Edmund, you kind of mentioned that it was a guilty pleasure the first several episodes, and then it kind of...
The first several episodes, and now it's kind of spinning its... big brass steampunky wheels.
Okay. I tried watching an episode and I felt like I was in some kind of steampunk nightmare. But
now one of those classic cases that they had some good ideas to get started, but then kind of have lost their way. And at this point, of course, are just holding the time slot for something else to come later.
Indeed, it is the appetizer to the main dish, one might say. The 28th of February, the second season of a little show called Hannibal. All about it's a period show.
Yeah,
it's a period show about crossing the Alps on elephants, or not the Alps, but
I enjoy these medieval theme shows.
That's
yes.
Right. we just butchered history in so many ways.
It's my funny you should say butchered. It's my favorite MasterChef spinoff.
That's right. That's right. Very, very up close and personal cuisine. But yes, the second season of Hannibal, and I know a lot of people, not just you guys, are looking forward to this one. And it's nice that it's coming back in February. Although I still feel as though having that premiere, like kind of not premiere, but you know, top flight show in the June time slot, June, July, was actually a good way to have that year round scheduling going on. But I can understand that. The gravitas and the critical acclaim that it had, that NBC wanted to kind of put it in a more amenable time. But regardless, it's coming back for a second season. That's better than most Brian Fuller shows get. So,
indeed.
Let's see.
Though about as many people die.
Yeah. Just without the
sadly,
far as I know.
very little of the I've seen very little of the big casting rumors that were coming out of the end of the first season come to fruition. Hopefully that's them playing coy and not because none of them came to pass. But
yeah.
even just I stumbled across not too long ago the promotional poster for the return of the second season, and I was frothing with excitement. It's so horribly spoilery if you haven't seen the end of the first season, and therefore I've been very, very careful about who I have shown it to. But oh my god, it makes me excited for what's coming.
In a completely different vein, but a show that I'm actually happy is coming back as well is the revived Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Really?
Coming back on the 21st of March, that's its second season. It ran over the summer last year, I should say, and we enjoyed the heck out of it. It's most of the cast coming back. The only one that isn't coming back, or did not come back, I now can't remember the name of the guy who didn't come back, but at any rate, it's most of the same people, and Aisha Tyler is now the host. And it was the kind of show that as soon as it came back, it either would have flopped horribly or been just like it never went off the air, and it was thankfully the second option for us at least. And so I'm looking forward to that as well. And let's face it, at 8 o'clock on the CW on Friday nights, there's really nothing else on because I refuse to acknowledge the Carrie Diaries other than saying that I don't acknowledge it. Edmund, I think you mentioned this before on Cinemax, a show called Banshee.
Yeah, speaking of true guilty pleasures, I'm not guilty at all. Banshee, I'd caught the first few episodes, and then due to various DVR issues and the fact that for some reason, even though they're all part of the same company, Cinemax Go doesn't work anywhere near as well as HBO Go. So I finally caught up with the rest of the first season when they went into repeats leading up to season two, and it's the new little niche that Cinemax has discovered for themselves after Strike Back. This was definitely a worthy follow-on to have another show that is just wall-to-wall action and sex, and that's it. It seems that Anthony Steele, the star of Banshee, has the same clause in his contract that Sullivan Stapleton does, that every attractive guest star has to sleep with him. Every female guest star, I should say. It is just a lot of fun. I mean, as opposed to Strike Back, where it's taking sort of much more conventional special forces group and having them go up against terrorists, this is just a super crazy concept of guy gets out of prison, tries to track down his former girlfriend and partner in thievery, and winds up as taking over as sheriff of the small town where she's been. And Ben Cross had done an absolutely stellar turn as the girlfriend's father, who is the crime boss, who they're both trying to stay away from. And it's set in Pennsylvania, so you've got the Amish running around. And the
all those crazy sheep. Amish.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, and the black sheep of the Amish family, who is, you know, has now become this, you know, is the ruthless businessman who runs the county. So, you know, yeah, they just got a great big steaming stew of all sorts of rivalries. And, you know, it's a lot of fun. And how could I forget the Asian cross-dressing hacker who is the one who helps the main character, you know, get into museums and hack electronic locks and that sort of thing. So,
well, it is an Alan Paul show, so you knew you were going to have a little bit of that, which also means that the first couple seasons are going to be pretty good, and then it's going to become incredibly repetitive and go downhill quickly.
Yes, that's about, so far, based on previews for season two, we are still in that good zone. So.
Okay, that's good. Well, it sounds kind of like Justified meets Strike Back, and also sounds like the kind of show that Homeland is aspiring to become. But anyhow, couldn't resist. Let's see. Also on Friday nights, I know that there's got to be stuff on Sci-Fi. Indeed, there is the new show on Sci-Fi, a show that is premiering on the 10th of January. So by the time this goes out, it will already be out there. And it is Helix, the show from Ron Moore, the creator and executive producer of the new Battlestar Galactica. As he says every time he does anything, but anyhow, Helix.
Hey, if you did something big, you'd pimp it out every time. So yeah.
Yes, he said those words so many times and things that I've heard that is now ingrained in my memory. At any rate, Helix is an intense thriller about a team of scientists from the Centers for Disease Control who travel to the high-tech research facility Arctic Biosystems to investigate a possible disease outbreak, only to find themselves pulled into a terrifying life-and-death struggle that may hold the key to mankind's salvation or total annihilation. Yeah, so it's basically The Thing, the series, at least in tone. But certainly, if anyone has seen the previews, it goes quite a bit differently than that, at least in different
versions. I watched it, and it's, of course, a pilot, so you have to always, you know, give it a little bit. But I sort of like the premise. I like the corporate, maliciousness is the right idea, but this sort of idea of the corporation, you know, hiding things and trying to get over on the government agents. So I think it's a nice premise. I'm looking forward to watching it. So.
Yes, and let's see. I believe that the showrunner is Stephen Maeda, not Ron Moore. And Steve Maeda was on The X-Files. So I'm sure that he can bring a bit of that darkness to that as well. Let's see. So that actually will have already started with two episodes by the time that we air this show. Other than that, on Friday nights, am I missing anything, guys, or is that pretty much it? I think it is. I would speak to Saturday, but what's on Saturday? Oh, actually, there is a show that's going to be on Saturday. My mistake. April 19th, season 2 of Orphan Black. How could I have missed that?
Yay!
Yes. Tatiana Maslany, many times over. Once again, kicking serious butt in many different ways. But that's I'm definitely looking forward to that, even if it is out as far as April.
Yep. And I do just want to mention about the series preceding it, Ripper Street, which we did talk about last season when I, after not getting into Copper, did get into Ripper Street and enjoyed it quite a bit. And unfortunately, this is one of those cases where we already know that this is season two and that will be it, since the BBC decided not to.
And I'd like to mention the series preceding that series that's currently going, Atlantis. I'm really enjoying the show a lot. It has a sort of Kevin Sorbo Hercules feel to it, and it's an enjoyable series. I'm really liking it a lot. I'm hoping it does get renewed. I haven't heard anything yet, but it looks cheap as anything to make, so that's usually a good sign. So I have my fingers crossed. It's a nice show. It's a guy thrown back in time, but they're more showing him dealing with being in the current now versus, you know, necessarily forced trying to find his way back. So it's quite enjoyable. One of those man out of time series. So.
And I'd like to point out my enthusiasm for the show that's before that, which is various programming bracket repeats. which I think has just been on a roll. I don't know how they put out that many episodes. It's practically all over the schedule. But just every time they manage to it feels like every episode is almost like a different show. It's just amazing. I don't know how they do it.
And it repeats. Yeah, I know.
It's one of those wonderful anthology shows that keeps on giving. Well done. One other thing that is coming out, and I believe it is when is it coming out? I think it's actually later this month, on the 25th of January, on Stars, in Simpicato with my lots of playing of Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. We have Black Sails, and that is the first season of 8 episodes of the authentic pirate adventure centers on the tales of Captain Flint and his men and takes place 20 years prior to Treasure Island. Yes, it's actually a prequel to Treasure Island, which was not something that I even realized when I saw footage of this at New York Comic Con. But it's all here's
Is it about when Long John Silver was a successful Baltimore psychiatrist and no one knew he was evil?
Yeah, absolutely. Flint, the most brilliant and most feared pirate captain of his day, other than Edward Kenway, takes on a fast-talking young addition to his crew who goes by the name John Silver and sells somewhat yummy on late-night seafood fast food. But anyhow, threatened with extinction on all sides, they fight for the survival of New Providence Island, the most notorious criminal haven of its day besides Nassau. The debauched paradise teeming with pirates, prostitutes, thieves, and fortune seekers, a place defined both by its enlightened ideals and its stunning brutality. Babylon 5. No. But anyway, I'm obviously looking forward to this show because I'm on a bit of a kick on this right now. But this one other promising thing about this is that it, just based on what's already in the can, the 8 episodes they made for the first season, the show is already starting or has started production on the 10 episode second season, which is an interesting turn of events. So Starz is putting quite a lot of money behind this one. And like I said, I saw some footage of it and it looked pretty good. If you have any interest at all in the subject matter, it's going to be worth it. Probably not worth it, although I just noticed this on here and I have to make mention of this. This is how far TLC has fallen.
No.
Sex sent me to the ER.
Oh, who doesn't have a story like that?
Yeah, well, there you go.
Kind of in general, one thing that always happens when we go through these grids is seeing all of these reality show titles that just make me shake my head.
Yeah, I wonder, does that go with the show on the Science Channel called The Moaning of Life?
I don't exactly. Know.
There's got to be a
well,
matter.
Well, you know, they did roll out a full season for that show. It's 4.
I guess. I'm just looking up, the like you said, Edmund, looking at the titles going up. We go, Sex Sent Me to the ER, to The Moaning of Life, Mom's Got Game, We Move Animals, and Scorned Love Kills.
Oh, God, I hope that's not in the same bracket as all the others.
And various programming, of course. All right, before we get completely off, just everybody paint a picture in your mind of how those could all intersect, and we're on to some of the seedier parts of any convention.
I think that the reality TV show people just play Mad Libs. With they have a bunch of words and phrases in a hat, and just pull them out, and that's how they decide what they show. Okay, at the 7 p.m. slot on Saturday, my werewolf is a vegetarian. Okay, run it.
Yep, pretty much. It's refrigerator magnet poetry. That's it. All right, Sundays. Let's get to Sundays. And for those who are still watching this, and I am not among them,
yes.
On March 9th, Once Upon a Time resumes its third season. And this is the season that killed my interest in the show. For me, I won't be watching that. Nadim has continued to watch the third season of Revenge, and after a number of tepid reviews for the third season episodes, the mid-season finale blew his mind, and he's very invested in what's going on right now, so I'm sure that he's looking forward to even more of that come March 9th. Let's see. There's a new show starting March 9th, actually, in the 9 o'clock time slot on ABC. This one is interesting. It's called Resurrection. The people of Arcadia, Missouri are forever changed when their deceased loved ones suddenly start to reappear. An 8-year-old American boy wakes up alone in a rice paddy in a rural Chinese province with no idea how he got there. Details start to emerge when the boy, who calls himself Jacob, recalls that his hometown is Arcadia, and an immigration agent takes him there. The home he claims as his own is occupied by an elderly couple who lost their son Jacob more than 30 years ago. And I don't know, have you guys seen the preview for this? the previews that have been out.
Because I have not.
It looks far more interesting than I thought that it would. It has folks like Kurtwood Smith and others, Omar Epps. These are the names that are jumping out as far as the cast is concerned. But this intrigued me when I saw a bit of a preview of it recently. I guess over the holiday season, some folks were showing it. But there are people who were involved with Damages and the Killing that are involved with the show. So yeah, looks interesting to me, that's for sure.
That looks worth a look. Yeah, I'd mention you have Frances Fisher as well, playing the mother to Kurtwood Smith's father. So
there you go.
Certainly a quality cast.
Yes, and it sounds like it could be played a little broadly, but it's fairly serious in tone, which is interesting. Also serious in tone, but deliciously comedic when it wants to be, is The Good Wife, that returned on the 5th of January. Its fifth season, that seems to be a huge renaissance for the show. So there you go. And NBC has these shows that there's no information about when they start, and there's these bizarre, just like bland things like Believe. This one, I wish I knew when it was starting, because it actually sounds like it could be somewhat interesting. Anyway, levitation, kinesis, the ability to control nature and even predict the future. Since she was 2 years old, Bo has had gifts that she could neither fully understand nor control. Raised by a small group known as the True Believers, the orphan girl has been safeguarded from harmful outsiders who would use her forces for personal gain. But now that she is 10, her powers have become stronger and the threat has grown more dangerous. With her life and future now in jeopardy, the Believers turn to the only person they see fit to be her full-time protector. That is, once they break him out of jail. So here we have a show that has folks like Kyle MacLachlan and others. I'm trying to look at... This has writer and director Alfonso Cuarón. And also connections to the J.J. Abrams production houses. So it's intriguing, to say the least. But I'd love to know when it was supposed to start. It's just kind of plopped into a time slot with no starting time, which is kind of strange, but okay. Also just kind of dropped onto their schedule is Crisis. It's field trip day for the students of Ballard High School, a place that educates the children of Washington, D.C.'s elite. Top of their industry CEOs, diplomats, and so on, even the president's son. But when their bus is ambushed on a secluded rural road, the teenagers and their chaperones are taken, igniting a national crisis. Now, with some of the country's most powerful parents at the mercy of one vengeful mastermind, the question arises, how far would you go, and what would you do to ensure your child's safe return? So we have a reality show here that is going to be... No.
Wait, didn't they just have the show with people?
The first version was called Hostages and was terrible, so they're trying again. But this has people like Dermot Mulroney, Gillian Anderson, Rachel Taylor is always very, very good to look at any rate. I'm trying to see if there are any other names on here that jump out at me, but those are the ones. But this one is the director of Salt and Patriot Games is involved. I'm trying to look for a showrunner name here, and I don't see it. But it definitely has the action thriller side of things on its side. More of a the 24 side of thing than the slow event-esque writing of Hostages.
It sounds to me like the bastard child of Hostages and The Blacklist. So.
Yeah. It's all, I guess, part and parcel of NBC these days, but they've got some interesting names attached to it. Again, when is it going to go? I'd like to at least see the pilot or something. Okay, but here's something that I think we all can say. We don't need to hear about it. We already know that we're going to be interested in it. Here in the U.S., it starts to run on the 19th, and for those of us with more international access, we've already seen the first two of them. Sherlock Season 3.
It came! It finally came!
Yes, along with news that they not only are definitely coming back for a fourth season, but that they are pretty much plotted out through fifth season. So,
which I found insanely surprising, because on top of just how difficult it's been to get Freeman and Cumberbatch free and to get along enough to film a series of it, the third episode of this series is called his Last Vow, which is a pun on the name of the last short story in the Holmes canon. If I'm remembering that correctly. So I Yeah, it's sort of like the opposite of it's kind of like the opposite of what they did with the second series, where they put out the title and I'm just like, oh, well, like I feel like I have a vague idea of what's going to happen, in terms of how, like, setting up what the show is going to go in the forward. But I'm very, very surprised that they're still planning on continuing. Not that I mind, not that I dislike the show or anything, but it's just been, this show has clearly had such a problem, such a chaotic time getting everyone together long enough to film stuff, that they're still trying to commit for further than this. Is just, yeah, it surprised me.
Well, we'll definitely show, so go ahead, Edmund, yes. Sorry.
Yeah, well, no, I was just going to say that now they don't have that little New Zealand man jumping up and down demanding their attention. They can finally devote more time to Sherlock.
Yes, well, I think that they even said basically that they will be doing it when they have the ability to do it. I mean, they know that. I think it's more that they've made the commitment to say that, you know what, we're just going to find a way to do it. We're not going to play the game of are we, aren't we. I think that they structured the third season. They kind of said that, yeah, we structured it so that it could have been the end of the road. But part of that was also because they'd been off the air. They weren't even sure that it was going to be successful. And, of course, it came back to record ratings in Britain. So it definitely has maintained its level of quality and excitement within the fan base. And as I said, you know, two out of the three have run in the UK. I've had the pleasure of seeing them, and I have the suspicion that a couple of you guys have as well. And yeah, I'm very happy.
Yeah,
I'm very happy with them. Let's see.
Yeah, I would actually just mention also there on the grid in that same time slot, the Bletchley Circle, season 2 coming in April on PBS. That was actually a very good little series that, you know, it's more of a straight detective series, but with a nice twist of having basically four of the female code breakers from Bletchley Park in the 50s, basically realizing that in the first series, murders were connected, and trying to get the police to pay attention to these silly women, and having a lot of trouble doing that even when they realized these silly women were these brilliant you know, logisticians and mathematicians who had well, of course, the irony being that no, they knew they worked on secret government projects, but they don't know that they actually broke the Enigma code, because that's not public knowledge yet. So, and it was just a very nice series with a, you know, this nice twist on sort of your standard mystery, and also certainly playing with sexual politics in the 50s. So some interesting social stuff going on as well. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with it in series 2.
Wow, a period piece about code breakers. I can't imagine why that would be up your alley at all. Okay, let's see. Well, oh yeah, starting on the 9th of February, the return of the fourth season of The Walking Dead. Yeah, we're there. Beyond that, again, with these reality show titles, dude, you're screwed. What is wrong with them? All right. That's not even, you know, Mad Libs at that point. I know that there are some people that enjoy the Showtime Sunday night shows like Shameless, House of Lies, and Episodes.
Oh, hell yeah, I watch House of Lies. It's really interesting.
Wait, Episodes is coming back?
The 12th of January, so literally for us a couple days from now, and for those listening, last night.
Episodes is a...
is that the one with...
That's the one where Matt LeBlanc got nominated for a Golden Globe, or won a Golden Globe, for playing the like fictionalized, you know, complete jerk, funny version of Matt LeBlanc. But especially if you're any kind of like TV nerd, Episodes really should be required viewing, because it's just the humor is just gets taken to a whole nother level if you understand things about how TV shows are made. For the people who aren't familiar with it, the premise is that it's about a British husband and wife TV writing team who are hired by an American network to come over to Hollywood and adapt their acclaimed sitcom into an American version. And within the first episode, it just goes completely off the rails. They're forced to recast the lovable headmaster of a British prep school, who was the main character of their original sitcom and played by the late wonderful Richard Griffiths, is instead replaced by hockey coach Matt LeBlanc. And it just the show within the show just kind of spirals out from there. It's really, really funny. It's so good at just really playing off the increased understanding that television fans have about the way TV shows are made. And I for one highly recommend it.
Very cool. Let's see. Am I missing anything else on Sunday nights? I mean, there's a lot of stuff. It's kind of
The one I would mention, it's kind of off genre where we usually go, but True Detective on HBO has been getting a lot of interesting buzz. So that also will have started the night before you listen to this. Matthew McConaughey as detectives in, and I believe this is a bit of a period piece as well, but he says, clicking onto the link, that...
Well, it doesn't seem...
Yeah, like well, no, it's present day, but no, it's all investigating a murder from 95, so yeah, there's some back and forth going on, but yeah, that's been getting some interesting buzz, and especially since HBO has not told us whether or not or when the newsroom is coming back. At least they're trying to give us some drama to keep us occupied. So,
not acceptable, not enough. Anyway, yeah, so that's Sunday nights, at least as far as I can see. Again, if there's anything else, let me know real quick, guys. But I think that pretty much covered it. We good on that? Okay. So I think that covers it. That's the winter and most of the spring. Obviously, there's some stuff that is not on the list. I mean, we know that Game of Thrones will be coming back on Sunday nights on HBO. But I think that actually was just announced it was going to be April 6th.
Yes.
That was announced today. So let's see. I mean, what other things am I not remembering are supposed to be premiering or coming back in the spring? I've actually got a nice little list here that ought to tell me if I have a moment. There's an app for that, as the case may be. Nope, that's pretty much it. Game of Thrones was the one that wasn't on the list that I have here. But, of course, there's plenty of stuff that's going to be premiering in the May-June-ish timeframe, which will be an interesting change of pace for us. But for right now, those are a lot of the shows that we are paying attention to. So I guess the question that we have for all of you listening is, what are you looking forward to this winter and spring season? Give us some feedback. Let us know. Is there some show that we did not mention? Are you a huge fan of, say, Moonshiners or something? You know? I don't know. I literally just picked something right off the random.
Well, no, but just like we've gone earlier on about that, the 99 show on Fox, you know, it's like it's not really a genre show we listen to, but we're all enjoying it. So if there's something out there you think we've missed, you know, mention it to us.
Absolutely. Just as long as it's not Snooki and JWoww, if you're watching that and enjoying it, just keep it to yourself. We'd prefer that. But yeah, there's a lot of other stuff that's on the schedule these days. I mean, clearly there's programming just everywhere, and what we mentioned ourselves is more than we can individually watch all in 1 week. So we're kind of covering it piecemeal as we go, and it's even more than we can talk about on a regular basis. So what else is out there that you find interesting that either you want to just let people know about or you think we should be paying attention to? Maybe there's something that we have completely missed. So let us know. Thank you, gentlemen, for all your help for this episode. And definitely, if you want to give us some comments, you can follow us on Twitter at Critical Myth, or you can go and like our page on Facebook. Again, that's Critical Myth.
You can give us feedback by visiting the website over at www.criticalmyth.com. Just check out the entries for the show and leave us a comment. If you can't find it, just go all the way up to the top of the page. There's a link there, and there is also a drop-down box for all of the shows we talk about. So please let us know what you think.
Or you can go over to the VOG Network page and go over to the forums, and we have a dedicated forum for the show. You can leave comments there for us.
You can also email your feedback to feedback@criticalmyth.com, or you can leave us a review on iTunes.
Or you can call our Google voicemail line at 908-977-MYTH. That's 908-977-6984.
And don't forget that critical misuse of any and all copyright material is only intended for parody, news analysis, critique, or for educational purposes, as provided within United States Code Title 17, also known as the Fair Use Act. Please don't sue us.
And the comments and opinions of the Critical Myth podcasters and reviewers are not necessarily those of its distributors, partners, or affiliates. But let's face it, we're probably right anyway. So until next time...